I'll ask you to please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read 36 through 38. And once you've found your place, I'll ask if you're physically able to please stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verses 36 through 38. Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38. The Bible says this: "But when he saw all the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for you showing us your heart here in these verses. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, that you care about those that are lost, that you care about those that are still in the fields, Lord. You care about sheep without a shepherd, Lord, and that you instructed us to pray. You allow us to share in your prayer, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll allow us to do more than just pray, Lord, that you'll allow us to go, allow us to participate in this prayer, Lord, allow us to be part of it, Lord, active in this great prayer request. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, if there is one who does not know you as Savior, I pray that they'll be saved tonight, Lord, that they won't wait, they won't push this off for a more convenient season, Lord, but they'll trust you as their Savior tonight and know the joy of a redeemed life. Lord, I pray for those who are undecided about their future, whether they're going to serve you with it or in what capacity, Lord, I pray you'll give them clarity and direction, Lord, but if there were some who are undecided about serving you at all, Lord, what they're going to do, Lord, if they don't know if they're going to commit their lives, Lord, I pray that tonight they'll commit, that they'll see the great need, they'll be impressed upon by your great heart, Lord, and that they'll work in your service, in your field, as laborers. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. So just over 5 years ago, as you saw in the video, we were heading to the island of Sardinia, and I preached a message from this text. It was very simple, and probably if you've heard missionaries preach before, you've heard one of them preach from this very same text. And 5 years ago, I preached a message from this text. Outline was very simple. It said, somebody needs to lift up their eyes and see the way that Christ did. Somebody needs to be moved with compassion the way that Christ was, and somebody needs to go. And today, roughly 5 years later, I'd like to preach to you from the same text as before, but as our understanding of the need of the people in Sardinia has changed, so has my understanding of this text. And so what I want to do now is to preach to you the second half of the message that I should have preached last time if I had been given the opportunity to do so. When we went to Sardinia, we had this great idea to bring the gospel message to people who hadn't heard the gospel. And that's certainly not a bad thing. That's a good desire, amen, to want to bring the gospel to people who have not heard the gospel. But today, 5 years later, almost 6 years later, we're asking ourselves, is that enough? And you might say, well, Brother Chris, are you saying that the gospel is not enough? I am. But before you grab your pitchforks and your torches and run me out of town, let me explain what I mean by that. If you want to be saved, if the goal is to see people trust Christ, to have their souls saved, then the gospel is enough for that. Absolutely. If you trust not, if you do not know for sure that you're saved, and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and His shed blood on the cross, you will be saved. In His resurrection, you will be saved. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. And that same gospel is true here, and it's true in Sardinia. And if our goal is to see people trust Christ and be saved, then yes, the gospel is enough. But what if our goal is to fulfill the Great Commission? Not just to see people get saved, but to see them grow. What if we don't want to fulfill half of the Great Commission, but a whole commission? Because the Lord was clear when He gave us His Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, if you know it, you probably do, go ahead and say it along with me. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." But does it stop right there? It continues on, doesn't it? It says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." That is the Great Commission. You see, there's the sowing, and that's very important. There's the seeing and the weeping and the going. There's the sharing of the gospel and the believing in the gospel and the saving of the gospel. And getting the gospel to Sardinia can do all of that. But in the Great Commission, there's not just the sowing, there's also the growing. There's the feeding and the watering and the teaching and the discipling. And let's take a look at this text one more time. Let's see what's really happening in this text. And I've heard in a lot of churches, you probably have too, "Lord, please break our hearts for what breaks yours. That's a good prayer request. Lord, please break my heart for what breaks yours. And here we see the heart of the Lord is moved to compassion. You want to know what breaks the Lord's heart? Let's read these verses and let's see what it is. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What was it that moved the Lord's heart to compassion? Was it a lack of sheep? It wasn't a lack of sheep. He wasn't looking out on empty hills saying, I sure wish there was someone here I could share the gospel with. The sheep were there. It wasn't a lack of sheep. The problem was that the sheep were scattered. They fainted. They weren't cared for. They weren't fed. There was no one there to give them what they needed. The sheep were there. The shepherds weren't. This is not an isolated incident. We see in Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 36, 37. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 6, 34 through 37. We're going to need these verses later. Mark 6, 34 through 37. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Christ, when he walked the earth, he called himself the Good Shepherd, didn't he? He left when he before departing, he established under-shepherds. He instructed them to care for the flock until his return. And listen, I know that this is a Sunday night, and there's a lot of verses. I'm going to read you some more, but stick with me. This is the heart of the Lord. If you have ever prayed, Lord, please break my heart for what breaks yours, if you're praying that now, if that's your desire to have your heart lined up with the Lord's, then these are the verses that are going to do that for you. Stick with me here. In a famous conversation with Simon Peter, in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, it says, so when they had dined, you'll know the story, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him again, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him again, feed my sheep. Before leaving earth, Jesus made sure his most precious possessions would be guarded until his return. He established shepherds in charge of taking care of the sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Okay, you said you love me. Based on your testimony that you love me, I need you to do something. I want you to feed my lambs. Test him again the second time. He says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Okay, Peter, based on your testimony, what you just declared that you love me, I want you to feed my sheep. A third time he asked him, and let's think about this for a second here, because this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God made flesh, the Word incarnate. And he only has to speak one time for it to be authoritative. He only has to say something one time, and it's sealed for all of eternity. And here he is saying the same thing three times to the same man, one after another. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. You know all things I love you. Okay. Based on what you said, based on your love for me, I want you to feed my sheep. Notice here, he didn't say, hey, Peter, do you like sheep? What about feeding sheep? You ever thought about shepherding as an occupation? He didn't say, hey, Peter, how do you feel about the sheep? He said, Peter, if you love me, then you'll feed them. Because our service for the Lord is not dependent upon how we feel about the sheep in any given moment. It's based on our love for the Lord. Because sheep sometimes can be unlovable. Sometimes they can be difficult. And I'm sure that you're all wonderful people. But I'm sure that times come when it's not easy to love or even like one another. And if your service for the Lord is dependent upon your feelings for the sheep, then you'll quit. Peter said, Peter, if you love me, then you will feed them. Feed my sheep. He loved them, and he didn't want them left unattended. from the weakest to the strongest, from the lambs to the rams, every single one of them. And Peter understood that this was not only for him, but for all pastors. We know what Peter thought about this because he wrote his own letters. And we see that he repeats the same instructions to other people. He knew this was not some idea of the Lord establishing him as the head of the church. That's some nonsense. If we had hours tonight, we could unpeel that layer by layer and we could expose it for all that it is. Peter understood that Christ was the rock. Amen. And that the church is built upon him. And we know that because when he makes reference to those things, he calls Christ the rock. And here we see in 1 Peter 5, verse 2 through 3, he gives an instruction to others. And he says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Where did he hear that? Christ instructed him, if you love me, feed the sheep. Here he is telling others, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. The Apostle Paul says the same thing. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all of the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased in his own blood. Different man, same instruction. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, he says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Why did Peter and Paul, to the point of tears in his eyes, care about shepherds over the flock? Why did Christ establish under-shepherds over the flock before leaving? Why did Peter, Paul, Titus, Timothy, why were all of them so concerned? Why did Paul say, for 3 years, remember this, every day I was with you, every morning, every single night, to the point of tears in my eyes, I besought you, don't forget this. We need pastors over these sheep. We need shepherds over these sheep. Why was it so important to them that there be pastors over the sheep? Because they knew there would be dangers, that's why. Because scattered sheep are in great danger. What Jesus establishes, the enemy wants to destroy. And what Jesus unites, the enemy wants to scatter. And for this reason, pastors are fiercely attacked. I don't know if you know that. But pastors are fiercely attacked. It is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But Christ did not want scattered sheep. He was moved with compassion over the scattered sheep, because scattered sheep are in great danger. Peter told us about hirelings who will come in. Christ compares himself as the good shepherd to the hireling. If you don't know what the hireling is, that's the guy who's in it to line his own pockets. He doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't care about the people. He doesn't care about their souls. He just wants to make a little bit of money. He'll come in and he'll sell their skins if he has to make some money. And Peter is warning them, hey, listen, there are going to be people who are going to come in who are not in this for the Lord. There are going to be people who are going to come in who are going to try to take advantage of you. There are going to be crooks that come in the pulpit. You know, I think we have this idea that crooks in the pulpit is a new thing. Now, you flip to the television and you can find crooks in the pulpit. All right, they're out there. But that's not a new modern concept. Okay, one of the men that walked with Christ was a dirty, rotten traitor. He was a hireling. He kept the money bag and he used it for his own purse to spend his own things. But the answer to crooks in the pulpits is not to get rid of the pulpits. It's to raise up men to fill those pulpits. There need to be pastors. There need to be shepherds to take care of those sheep, to drive away those hirelings. You have the threat of the hireling to the flock. You have the threat of the wolf. Paul talks about the wolves. Wolves will raise up among you. But we don't need to spend too much time talking about the wolves or the hirelings tonight, because they are not the greatest danger to the flock anyway. The greatest danger to the flock, and I learned this talking to a Sardinian shepherd. Now, in Sardinia, there are 1.5, 1.6 million people, but somewhere between 3 and 4 million sheep. There's a lot of sheep. And the man said, there's a lot of shepherds. And one day I was feeling discouraged, and I was trying to face my job, and I told my wife, honey, I'm going to go preach to the rocks. Now, you all don't know what that means, but there's a hill near where we live, just a quiet place. There's nothing but a rocky area with rocks set up. And sometimes when I feel like I can't just manage to preach to people, I tell my wife, I'm going to go preach to the rocks. And I'll go get on my knees with the Lord. And I'll say, I need some time with the Lord here because I really don't know how I can face another day without the Lord by my side. And so one day I said, honey, I'm going to go preach to the rocks. And I went out there, and this sounds like an illustration that a preacher would make up to make a point. But it's a true story. I went out there and I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I don't know how to do my job. I'm out here and I want to reach these people. I want to help. I want to do the best I can. I don't know how to reach them. Lord, please tell me how I can reach these people. And when I got done praying, I looked up and I saw one of those shepherds leading his flock through the field. And they followed him. And they were well fed. And there was no danger around. And I said, maybe this guy knows something I don't know. He knows how to shepherd a flock. And so I said, I got to go talk to this guy. Maybe he can tell me something about my job. And so I came up to him, and I ran up to him, and he was very nervous. Sardinians are already, let's say, skeptical of foreigners. Everything that's ever come to the island's been an invader or a conqueror. And so they see some 6'4" American with a strong accent yelling at them. He backed off. He didn't want to talk to me. And I said, sir, please tell me. I'm a pastor of a church. I'm a shepherd of a church. And on a little side note here, the word for shepherd in Italian, or Sardinian especially, is the same word for shepherd. Shepherd is the same word for pastor. And that kind of puzzled me for a while. I spent a long time thinking, you know, every word in English has its own counterpart in Italian, it seems like. So why would the word pastor not have its own distinct word? And then it hit me. Why would they have a word for pastor in Sardinia? I've never seen one. There isn't one there. Do you even need a word for something that doesn't exist where you are? If the concept is so foreign to you about a pastor that you don't even have a word for it? And so when the man got done scratching his head and figuring out what I meant by a pastor of people, by a shepherd of people, he finally answered. I said, listen, you're here every day. He didn't want to talk to me, you know, typical Italian mafia style. I know nothing. I see nothing. I'm not saying a word. You can't make me talk, you know. So I said, listen, you're here every day. I see you here all the time. Why? I finally asked him. I said, why do you come? I said, is it because there's wolves? He said, there's no wolves in Sardinia. There's foxes. But no, I'm not here because of the foxes. I said, well, what is it? Is it thieves? Are you scared that thieves are going to come in and steal your sheep away? He said, no, it's not the thieves either. And then finally, he must have gotten tired of me giving him wrong answers because he started giving me the right ones. And he said, the most dangerous thing to the flock is not the wolves or the foxes or even the thieves. He said, the most dangerous thing, the reason why I'm here, the most dangerous thing for the flock is their diet, he said. He said, they have to eat. That's why I'm here. I said, I understand now. Okay, so you're here because if you don't come, they won't eat and they'll die of starvation. He said, no, you still don't understand. He said, if I'm not here, they'll eat everything. They'll eat broken bottles. They'll eat tin cans. They'll eat barbed wire fences. They'll eat things that are poisonous. He said, if I'm not here every day to put good food in front of them, then they are going to scatter and they're going to find something else because a sheep will die of a million things, but starvation ain't one of them. They are going to eat something. And if there is not someone there to put good food in front of them, then they're going to go and find something that's probably going to hurt them. And then I understood. That's what my job is to put good food in front of them so they don't scatter. Why were the sheep scattered that day? I don't know a lot about sheep. I know a little bit more now. But I know this. I don't often see sheep that are well fed scattering away. If they have food in front of them, they don't run looking for other things. They stay there, and they eat. And you know what? There, in your Christian life, there is a lot of garbage available for you to eat. And if you don't stick with the good food, if there is not a man who's putting good food in front of you, you're going to starve. But you're not going to die that way. You're going to go and you're going to look for something to feed you, and you're going to find some preacher on the internet, some hireling who promises you a blessing, or someone who has some crazy, strange doctrine who's going to lead you away. Some wolf is going to pull you away. And if you are not eating the real food of the Word of God, hey, listen, in your spiritual diet, do not accept any artificial flavors or colors. You need the real thing. You need the milk from God's Word. You need the honey for some sweetness, and you need some meat that you can sink your teeth into that's going to last you for a while. You need the truth from the God's Word. And that is what the people out there need. And that is what the people are missing. The Lord didn't open up his eyes and look and lament over a lack of sheep. The sheep were out there, guys. There just was no pastors. There were no shepherds there to feed them. There were no shepherds to feed them. Jesus didn't send the sheep to fend for themselves. He didn't say they'd be better off on their own. He saw their lack of a shepherd. He took action immediately to remedy it. Because sheep left without food will eat anything. You look at that video that we watched here, and do you ever wonder? You probably do. If you've ever seen a video, or even worse, in real life, people who were following a statue through a town. And they're looking at it, you're looking at it, and you say, how can they believe that? You think, how is it possible that they can follow something that they know is made of wood? It can't walk. That's why it's being carried. It's that statue that you saw in that video, that's Sant'Efficio. It's one of the most famous statues, idols in all of Italy, which means in all of the world, really. You know, its fingers are broken off, and they had to be held back on with glue. Now, can you imagine being so starved spiritually, so hungry, that you would follow a statue whose fingers are held on by glue and ask it to meet your needs? And you look and you say, what's wrong with these people? How can they think that? What, are they just stupid? They're not stupid. They're starving. They're starving. And if we can sit back in judgment of them and condemn them for eating wrong things and for searching in wrong places and for scattering abroad and for chasing the hireling who's going to skin them, or for chasing the idol that cannot hear them, or we can put the truth in front of them. We can get the Word of God in front of them and let them eat some good food. And maybe they won't be carried around by every wind of doctrine anymore. If they can have a good spiritual diet, I realize that the more I eat, the harder it is for the wind to move me around. Wind doesn't pick me up and carry me away anymore. You know why? I eat good. And if we'll feed these people, then they won't be carried around by every wind of doctrine. They can be secure. A fine example of the shepherd's role can be found in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. You know, I didn't see this. And then this shepherd from Sardinia told me this, and now I see it everywhere through the Scriptures. What is the role? What is the job? Well, let's look and see. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What do we read here? We read about pastures of tender grass for the sheep to eat, still waters for them to drink, a table of food prepared in front of them. It seems like shepherding has a lot to do with nutrition, with getting good food in front of the sheep, making sure that you're leading them to eat the right things, making sure they have water to drink, making sure that they have food in front of them. You know, in every city, on every island, but especially in Sardinia, large and small, it can be a town full of 40 people or 40,000, 100 people or 100,000. And every single year, several times a year, you will see that same scene. People who were following statues through the streets. People who have been left to their own devices. Sheep who have no food in front of them, and so they're scattered abroad. And anything that looks promising to them, they'll take a bite out of it. And it's not good for them. It's not good for them. And because the internet got to Sardinia before the gospel did, it seems like, there's a people who have bad doctrine. People who have found some internet preacher who's teaching them all kinds of crazy things. People who are feeding them with junk, with garbage. And we can rise up in contempt of them and wonder why they're not smarter. But you know, we weren't so smart either before somebody showed us the right things to eat and drink and to read and to understand. What can we do about it? Well, we need to see what Christ saw. That's what we said 6 years ago. We got to see what Christ saw. That's not enough. We need to see what Christ saw, but we need to see it in the same way that Christ saw it. Let's look back at Mark 6 again. I told you we'd turn back there. Let's look at Mark 6, 36. You know, there were other people that day who saw what Christ saw. The disciples were with Christ, and they saw what Christ saw. They said, Lord, these people have no food. But what was their solution? Send them away. Send them away so they can get their own food. They said, send them away that they can go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread. For they had nothing to eat. When they saw the sheep, you know what they saw? They saw somebody else's problem. Somebody, Lord, get rid of them. If you keep them here, we're going to have to feed them. If they stay here, they become our problem. Send them away. Let every man find his own way. Let every sheep find his own food. But that was not the heart of the Lord that day. He said, you feed them. You feed them. But should we buy for them? The disciples said. Wouldn't it be better if everyone went their own way and took care of their own needs? And you know, a lot of times in our churches we have that attitude. You know, why can't everybody just take care of their own problems? Why should I have to solve the problems for everybody? Why can't Sardinia just raise up its own pastors? Why can't Sardinia plant its own churches? Hey, well, listen, that may be your heart today, and that may sound logical to you, but that is not the heart of the Lord. The Lord said, you feed them. If you see them, you feed them. Don't sit idly by and hope that someone else is going to take care of their needs. We came to Sardinia with a desire in our hearts to find the lost sheep of God. Praise the Lord. And now after 5 years, we see sheep, but so many are scattered and fainting, and they will eat anything if they're starving. They'll gather around a hireling because he promises to meet their needs. Some will be so starved, they'll swallow anything with the slightest discretion or discernment. And now it's our heart's desire to gather and care for them. But we can't be everywhere, guys. This is not rhetoric. We have people who call us and who email us and who message us and tell us, will you send a Baptist church to our town? There are people, there are hundreds of towns in Sardinia, and there are at least four or five where I have received personal phone calls saying, is there anyone that you know who will come and plant a Bible-teaching church where we live? And I say, well, where are you? And they say, well, we're in La Maddalena. And I say, okay, well, let's see. I can drive 4.5 hours north of the island on mountainous roads and then take a ferry to La Maddalena, and then we cross a bridge, we get there, and then, yeah, I guess maybe once every couple months I can get to you and I can share the gospel with you. You can follow us online. Maybe we can go do some tracking and help you that way. But listen, they need a pastor. They need a pastor. Those churches need a man who's going to come, who's going to care for them. Because they're scattered abroad. Sardinia is full of sheep, metaphorically and physically. And they need shepherds. They don't just need some guy they can watch on the internet. They need someone who's going to care for them, who's going to cry for them, who's going to weep with them, who's going to laugh when they laugh, rejoice when they rejoice, and weep when they weep. They need a man of God who's going to come and feed them. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to sit back and we say, well, God, I got these 200 pennies in my pocket. It'll be cost me 200 pennies if I have to feed all these people. We need to see what Christ saw, but we need to see it how he saw it. We can pray for them, but I'm going to warn you. Probably nobody's ever warned you against praying before, but today is August 24th. Today is the day somebody warned you about praying. Okay, I'm warning you now about praying for missionaries, because when you pray for a missionary, what happens? I can tell you from personal experience, my wife and I prayed for Italy for 10 years. And we would go into missions conferences, and we would see flags all over the walls. We would ask the pastors, Pastor, do you know anybody that's going to Italy? And they would say, no, we don't know anybody. You got Frank Maeda and Grossetto, you got them up there, you got a few people there and there, but most pastors didn't even know a single missionary. We would go to missionary board websites, scrolling through the flags, trying to find anybody with an Italian flag next to their name. And we said, Lord, there's no one there. There's no one who's going to feed them, Lord. Why don't you send somebody to Italy? He said, Chris, you're right. There's no one there. You go. You feed them. Because pastors, they'll tell you most of the time that, listen, we're nothing special. We're just men who were walking with God one day, walking with Christ. And Christ said, hey, you see those sheep over there? They've got no one to feed them. Why don't you go do it? Why don't you go feed them? When you pray for missionaries, and you should, be ready to participate. Be ready to get involved. You say, well, I'm not a church planter. God hasn't called me to be a church planter. Okay, well, if God hasn't called you to be a church planter, he's called you to be a church filler. Okay? If you're not going to plant a church, you can fill one. You can fill your seat. You can fill the seats all around you. We've been out of the U.S. for 6 years, but unless it has changed drastically, I imagine there's probably still some lost folks here. Probably enough to fill these church pews. And we can go out there and we can reach them. But listen, when you reach somebody, don't just leave them in the streets. Get their phone number. Follow up with them. Bring them in. And you might think, well, they don't think like me. Well, of course they don't. Of course they don't. They're lost. Get some good food in front of them. And unless America has changed greatly, there are people out there who name the name of Christ, who maybe even are saved and don't have a church to go to. And you know what? You know them. You know them. People who say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but they don't have a church, they don't go anywhere. You know, and instead of judging them, you know, we're good at having compassion most of the time on lost people. But people who call themselves Christians and who have wacky beliefs, usually we're not so patient with those people. Okay. But listen, maybe they were part of a church one time, but the pastor was a hireling. And he told them whatever he had to tell them to fatten his pockets, and then he left, and they left hurt. Maybe in that church, some wolves sprang up, and they attacked those people, and now they're scattered abroad. Hey, listen, they need a church too. The sheep that are there are scattered. And when Christ sees them, he's moved with compassion. Do we see them? Let's look in our communities. Let's fill these church pews. Let's fill it with new believers. But let's fill it with people who are out there who are just lost, who just need someone to listen to them, someone to extend a hand to them, someone maybe to feed them some good food so they can grow. Let's reach them. And then let's lift up our eyes and look a little further. Maybe to a place like Sardinia, where people are so hungry that they'll follow around a statue with broken fingers saying, give me something. Give me something. What will we do? Will we say, Lord, I have 200 pennies in my pocket and I don't want to lose them? Will we say, Lord, send them away so they can take care of their own needs? When we bring those needs before the Father, if we will line up our heart with his heart, we say, Lord, I see these people and they have nothing to eat. The chances are he's going to say, I know they don't. And I showed them to you because I want you to see them and because I want you to feed them. What will we do today to reach the lost? What will we do today about sheep without a shepherd? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you so much, Lord, for these verses, Lord, and how rich they are with meaning. Lord, I thank you so much for how you've showed us your heart in these verses, Lord, how you care, Lord, about the sheep that are there. You care about a lack of sheep, sure. If there's not many, you care about that. Of course you do, Lord. You want the sheep to multiply, Lord, but also you care about the ones who are there who are just left alone. Lord, help us, Lord. Forgive us for not seeing, for not having eyes to see, Lord. Help us to see the sheep that are there and to care about them. The ones who are bruised and hurt and cut from wolf attacks, the ones who have been stolen and pulled away and sold, the ones who've been taken advantage of, Lord, help us to see them also, Lord. And help us to feed them. Help us to line our hearts with yours, Lord. Help our hearts be broken for what breaks yours. And then once we're moved emotionally, Lord, help us be moved physically. Help us put our hands to the work. Lord, we love you, we trust you to do what we can't do tonight, Lord. Move in hearts, work in hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor.